you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to you all. This is G. Craig Lewis from EX Ministries here with another True Church Perspective from true-church.org on the web. You can get previous broadcasts. You can get them free of charge. You can download them, and you can offer a free gift if you so desire to bless the ministry. We want to keep bringing these messages to you, and we really want to keep dealing with this Laodicean era of our church. And we want to bring you from the Word of God, Revelations 3. We want to go back to this Laodicean church that we've talked about in the last few broadcasts. We talked about hip hop extensively on the last broadcast, which at EX Ministries, we deal with hip hop quite often because it seems to be one of the major setbacks of our African American churches, as well as a lot of Caucasian based churches. And when I say those, I do mean, you know, churches that have a predominant number of a specific race. So don't get offended if I call it that. But if you have more African Americans, then you would be considered an African American congregation. So in these types of churches, we have so many different gimmicks and schemes, and a lot of them that is being used to sway or persuade young people to come. And hip hop has just been a big problem. It's a problem in the secular arena, and it's sad that hip hop is responsible for so much turmoil in the lives of teenagers now in the secular arena. And then what does the church go do? The church goes and gets hip hop and then calls itself redeeming it and, you know, sanctifying it and making it holy. And now they have holy hip hop, even though the guys that are doing the rapping still look gangster. They still thugged up. But, you know, we talked about that in the last broadcast, so make sure you get a hold of that one if you are able. But let's go to Revelations 3 and 14, where Jesus Christ is speaking about the Laodicean church. And we talked about it extensively in the other broadcast, but I want to bring some other things out of this church. He says, I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, which is saying the temperature of the world, you are infused with the world, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, there's no use for you if you are the temperature of the world. You've taken on the characteristics of the world. Now, what kind of world are we living in now? Let's talk about that. We're living in almost a socialistic society. We have basic socialism going on right now. You know, where it's a rule by the people, kind of a democratic rule, but it's also a rule by pressure of the people. And we know that in America, because we have 2% of the population that is making big time decisions to sway the other 98% of the population. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the homosexual and the lesbian community. Their agenda is so powerful that they can take, you know, 4 hours of television broadcasting, and 3 of those hours they could show homosexual images, even though 98% of the population person aren't into that or don't want to see that. But just 2%, that shows you how powerful they've gotten with their agenda. So powerful that, you know, the disease known as AIDS, which is affecting our communities, used to be known as GRID, which was gay-related immune deficiency back in the 60s and the 70s. The name was changed because their agenda is so powerful that they were able to take the negative stamp of homosexuality off AIDS, and now AIDS is really considered a heterosexual disease, even though it comes mostly through the homosexual community. Right now they're saying, what, one out of every two black teens has an STD, and they're saying that black women are 20 times more likely to catch AIDS. Why? Because of the homosexual activity in our community. But no one wants to fight or argue with homosexuals about their lifestyle, even though any doctor will tell you that their lifestyle is very damaging to their body. Their lifespan is shortened by suicide and also premature death through contracting diseases. So this is a very, very vicious lifestyle, and it kills you early. And yet no warnings are coming like that. You don't hear that. They're made to look like anybody else. Every major motion picture now depicts homosexuality in a positive light. Every TV show depicts it. Every radio program, they just make it sound like it's all good for two big old men and two old butch women to come together. It's just, it looks normal, even though it's the most abnormal thing, and that is the most absurd thing. And you know, it is ridiculous that 2% of the population can make this thing right in our eyes, and it looks so right, especially in the church. Our singers, our performers, our entertainers, and you know, it's just outrageous. But that just shows you the socialistic society that we live in, where they're able to force their agenda and scare you. And so no one has a negative opinion, or no one wants to stand up with their opinion for fear that they will be rejected. And that's what's happening. That's, you know, even in high schools, young people, when we were growing up, you know, we'd go get saved in church and we'd go back to school and, you know, we'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. We'd go back to school and shout it out, you know, hey, I'm changed, I'm different, I'm saved, you know. But now, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not that much different than you. And, you know, I know Jesus, but you may know Buddha, but I mean, we're both still good people. And, you know, this is a socialistic atmosphere that is in America now. It's socialism, you know, and you couple that with our new president and some of his ideas, and you couple that, you know, with the general consensus of the media and how the media, you know, does that. No one in the media wants to be the one to break the socialism for fear that they won't make it to the next level in whatever it is that they're doing. And I tell people all the time, this is how hip hop actually got popular in our churches. What they do in socialism is they find a leader that's a socialist, and they find a leader that will do what the people want. This is the kind of leader. He's a man pleaser. So they want a leader in a socialistic society that will not go against the people, but will do what the people says. And that may work in socialism, but that doesn't work in the church, because in the church, we have to have leaders that will do what God says, and they are not man pleasers. So no matter what the people want, the people aren't able to bully the opinion of that leader, because that leader is being led of God. Understand something about Laodicea. The word Laodicea comes from two Greek words, which mean the self-evident rights of the people, or conformity to the will of the people. So we've got this word meaning to conform to what the people want. And that's why I want to talk about the Laodicean church, because hip hop would not be able to enter into our church had there not been leaders that were pleasers of the people. And who am I talking about? I'll say their names. Bishop T.D. Jakes. I'll use him as an example, because when he created Megafest, everybody thought that when he did Megafest was was going to be this big, powerful move of God, but it turns out it was a spiritual dud, and all it did was promote the secular artists, secular performers, secular actors, movie stars, and it merged Hollywood with the church. And, you know, we're talking about holiness people, holiness preachers, you know, that begin to follow after this man's example of how to be big and reach the world. Well, what T.D. Jakes really did was he satisfied the carnal desires of the people so that they could mingle and mix with their Hollywood movie stars, mingle and mix with their secular performing artists. I remember India Irie performed at Woman Thou Art Loose, and this woman worships a whole nother god. And then you had Patti LaBelle, who had, you know, was dressed real explicitly and kind of showing her body off and different things. And you had all this stuff happening. Then you had secular producers talking to the youth. And then you had, you know, Tonet and others that mixed the world with their performances. So you had a big mixing of the world. But what it was a giant lukewarm conference. That's all it was. It was just a big lukewarm conference that started the Megafest era. And because T.D. Jakes was lifted up, he's lifted up as a super apostle, or someone that younger ministers want to mimic, a lot of other young ministers began to follow suit and follow his example and do what he said. So when he had his children come in and work with him, and they began to push hip hop, and they made hip hop a part of the conference, well, what did all the other churches do? They began to say, hey, this is the bishop of the whole church. This is the bishop of the black church. So we need to do what he does. So let's bring hip hop in. And he and Eddie Long and other men like that began to bring hip hop in because it would satisfy the fleshly desires of the people. Then it made them even more lukewarm, because now we have something that is worldly and secular in the church. And what ends up happening is we get this big lukewarm type gathering where there's a mixture, where it's the temperature of the world, it's worldliness. And so conforming to the will of the people is where this whole Laodicean city even got its name. This spiritual socialism is really what it is. It's just, let's do what the people want and let's please the people. So when we talk about this church in Revelations, God also says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. So Jesus is saying, no, don't do the will of the people. Get your ideas and concepts from me. Now, what does this mean? This means that you don't do what's popular and you don't do what is the temperature of the world, but you allow God to be the example and God to show you what it is that you need to do. Now, let me explain something here, because we want to definitely talk about this super apostle mentality. Now, we have denominations that are ruled by, you know, one person, and they're set up that way. And that may not be the best way for an organization to be ruled, because all the devil has to do is play a chess game, and he can get corrupt leaders. Once the leader is corrupt, then he pretty much spiritually can destroy the denomination. And let me explain something about this. This is very important. When John McCain and President Obama were running against each other, when John McCain entered into the presidential race, he had a large following in the Senate and in the House of his partisan representative. So he had a lot of Republican support from the Senate and the House, those that are a part of that party. He had large party support there. But when Obama began to gain momentum, then a lot of those leaders that were following McCain flip-flopped and went to Obama's side. The reason they did that was because when they felt Obama was really going to win, a lot of them wanted to be in good graces with the new leader. So that means they compromised their own ideas or beliefs or feelings. They totally compromised themselves and what they stood for to get in good graces with the leader. if they really took to heart what they believed, they would have stood no matter who was in leadership. But because they wanted the okay or stamp of approval of the leader, they began to change and became swayed so that they could better position themselves for success. This is a very selfish, socialistic move, but I'm giving you that contrast to let you know why a lot of times when there is one single leader, even over denominations that control churches, you can have this same issue where people may not even believe in this leader. They think this leader is foul. They think this leader is going to corrupt the whole organization. So they fight him during the election period. But then once he looks like he's going to win, they begin to flip flop and compromise so that they could be in good graces with that leader. Now, being led by committee is very important, because if an organization is led by three or five or an odd number of leaders, then you have the ability to have leaders. And these are spirit-filled leaders when I'm talking about the church, of course, but they're able to lead by counsel. And when something is led by counsel, there can be no one person that everybody is trying to get in good graces with. Now, of course, there's pros and cons about it, and I don't want to get into all of that, but I'm giving you this example because this Laodicean church became so lukewarm in trying to appease people until it lost its leadership. There was no leader voice of this city because this city sought to always please the people. Now, how does this relate to our churches now? Well, everything now is geared to the people. You know, you have even pastors in this area that are, you know, mixing secular music and secular ideas in with their ministry. And what that is doing is when the people have too much authority in an organization, they begin to elect men or put men up that have their ideas in mind rather than a God-giving group of men that can keep God's word and power over the organization. Now, why am I talking about all of this? Psalms 12 and 8 says something that's very powerful. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. That means when men that are vile are in charge, then it gives license to the wicked to walk about freely. How does this relate to our churches? Let's go back to MegaFest. When he put this MegaFest on, we created a website against it to try to fight it from happening because we felt like it was one of the largest mergers of the church in the world that we've ever seen. And now, you know, he's chasing Hollywood and, you know, he's got this making movies with half naked men, no shirts on, all in the movies, hugged up. And, you know, he's got the He Motions ministry, which is just, you know, just as gay as all outdoors. And, you know, but it's because he's doing these things because he's been lifted up to the level of a super apostle. And what that does is that causes young men and young ministers to follow him to get his positioning and to be where he is. And those that disagree, listen to this, those that disagree with him are afraid to publicly disagree because they want to stay in good graces with him. This is the same thing when I gave the example of the president, and that's not a political message, so you can't read into that who I voted for. Please don't go there with me today. But I use that example to show you when a man gets too big in the kingdom of God, he gets power to make or break men in the eyes of the people. When he feels he has that power, he can selectively do whatever he wants. And now, you know, Bishop T.D. Jakes, he's got a hearing now. And I mean, he really don't care what nobody think. He's best friends with a drag queen, Tyler Perry. He really don't care what you think. And it's because of the level of super apostle that he's lifted up to. And thank God, EX Ministry, see, we're not under that hierarchy. and, you know, we don't really care what anybody thinks as far as what we're doing. Yeah, I'm accountable to some men and an organization, but we're not, you know, a part of that whole trying to be something crowd. So we can pretty much preach the message that needs to be preached. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they're going to heap up on themselves teachers having itching ears, meaning they're going to bring men in. They're going to get under men that will do what they want, pleasure their flesh, teach them how to be pleasured and feel good. And they will heap up on themselves those kinds of teachers. And the Bible said they would turn away the truth. The problem with the Laodicean church was that they became so lukewarm, and they became conformed to the temperature of the earth, that the will of the people became the will of God. Understand, men that preach carnal messages, they're preaching carnal messages like it's what God wants. And the people are buying into it, saying, yeah, that must be what God wants because I want it. So men are basically saying, you know, because I want it, it must be what God wants. And so now they're after going and walking around cars 7 times and eating the dirt of a yard, saying that's my house, and, you know, melting down the wedding rings and giving them to the preacher so he can make it a big symbol of them getting whatever it is that they ask for. And all this crazy foolishness is going on because people believe that the will of God, it coincides with their will. But the Bible tells us that they would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. See, this is why you don't hear these carnal men preachers, these super apostles, you don't hear them preaching about the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost has been left out. See, because the Holy Ghost will show them up. The Holy Ghost will speak to them. The Bible says it in 1 John that the anointing which you received of him, it abides in you. This is the power of the Holy Ghost that no man can teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. So what it's saying here is that nobody has to teach you that that message is not from God. In other words, nobody has to tell you the difference between what you want and what God wants. The unction of the Holy Ghost that abides in you, that anointing, will tell you that. How does that come? That comes from you being filled with the Holy Ghost, you reading the scriptures for yourself, and you dying to your flesh. You know, I knew T.D. Jakes and others had a problem when I first picked up one of his books, and the name of the first chapter in The Lady, Her Lover, and Her Lord was self-love. I automatically knew where he was going with his whole ministry. Now he got a church full of ex-holiness folk gathered together carnally seeking self-love. Gratification, that self-validation, that is self-love. Do you know the first rule to coming to Christ? The Bible tells us that you must first deny yourself. So what is self-love but something that gets in the way of you loving God? Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to, you know, love who God made you, but you cannot love yourself to the point to where you seek to pleasure yourself and glorify yourself through the pleasures of the flesh. And that's all this stuff is. It's self-gratification, self-glorification, and it pushes away God. See, God can't use you if you're full of yourself. So understand something, and I'm running out of time, and man, I wanted to deal with this just a little more, but please, people of God, hear what I'm saying. Don't believe this lie. There are lies that are going on, and people are compromising. Leaders and pastors are compromising to get in good graces with other folks, and you know they are because they call in the names out in the pulpit. You know, folks get on me for calling names of folks because I call out a lot of negative stuff that people do in the public eye, but there are a lot of preachers that just name dropping to let you know who they're down with. They're using it as validation. They're using it. Yeah, I gave 10,000. I gave 20,000 to so-and-so, and look how God blessed me, because they want you to give them that. So be real careful, people of God. Don't fall for these strong delusions and this foolishness that's going on in this Laodicean era of our churches. And please, youth pastors, and pastors, those that are thinking about embracing hip hop, do your research and find out what this is. You do not want to be responsible for impregnated teens in your youth group. You don't want to be responsible for thugs and gangsters and all this foolishness that's going on. God will charge that to you if you allow this demonic subculture into your churches. I don't care what T.D. Jakes, Eddie Long, or any of them have said and done. It's wrong, and you have to almost be possessed by the devil to gravitate to something that is so detrimental to our people. This stuff is destroying our kids. Please hear the prophet of God right now. I want to pray. Father God, I believe that you've anointed this broadcast, Lord, to speak your truth. And I believe there are many, God, that are hearing this. And I believe there are many, Lord, that have been sucked into this Laodicean era. God, many of them have began to use this Laodicean kind of mindset and satisfy the wills and desires of the people, satisfy men's flesh and make them love self, that whole Oprah Winfrey type self-love message. Father, we come against that right now. We want your anointing back. God, we want the power of your Holy Ghost back. God, we want the sick healed, Lord. We want the dead raised. Father God, we want your spirit back. We're tired of these selfish men that have set themselves up as demonic monuments that are controlling the will and the workings of the enemy and using it to as a catalyst to sway people, Lord, to deceive people, these strong delusions that they're using. Father, they don't even have success in what they're teaching. They only have money. And Father, we know that gain is not godliness. So right now, Father God, we come against it right now. I pray with the authority you've given me. Father, we come against it and the monuments of Baal, the workers of Baal. Father, the false gods will come down before you return in Jesus' name. Father, take this down, Lord, and change the mind of your people so your people will go after you with everything that is in them. Father God, this is your hour. This is the return of your son's hour, Lord, and we believe that he's drawing near, and we come against all of the lasciviousness of this Laodicean mindset in the name of Jesus. And God, we take our children back from hip-hop. God, we take our teenagers back. We take our daughters back from the boys that's deceiving them. We take our boys back from the girls that's deceiving them. Father, we take our people back. We take the saints, the holiness saints that used to follow after righteousness. We take them back from the devourer, God. We take them back right now with your authority, God. We take them back from these men that crept in unaware, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I believe, Father God, that your day is here in Jesus' name. We will be back next week with another True Church Perspective. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for a True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.